Blog Talk Radio.
Do we ever thought out there? Do we ever throw it in? You know, given the power, like, no, man, we just kept pounding. Kept pounding that thing, man. And look what happened, man. I mean,
there's a gentleman upstairs who you know this means so much to, Mr. Richardson.
Yes, yes, indeed, man. I mean, we're back to back. That's never been done before. And, you know, his organization did it. I know he's around right now.
His organization did it. The 2014-15 Carolina Panthers, the first division winners, back-to-back division winners of the NFC South. That was Josh Norman, if you couldn't tell. He's taking Greg Hardy's spot as the best interviewer on the Panthers for this season. And so, yeah, I mean, that was on the field after they won, courtesy of Panthers.com. So it was a pretty exciting day last Sunday. And to help me recap that and just recap the season, I'm joined by my now colleague, since I'm writing over there now, at CarolinaCatChronicles.com, Mr. Joey Riolano. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I am Joey Riolano. I am co-founder of CarolinaCatChronicles.com. It's been a real pleasure having you on board as a colleague, and we look forward to our continued working relationship. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. You know, I think I detailed it a bit in the first piece, but kind of why I decided to write over there was, I mean, you guys are kind of doing something different, and I like different because same old coverage gets boring after a while, and it's just kind of refreshing to see something different.
Yeah, well, that's what Carolina Cat Chronicles was originally. That was our purpose. We there's plenty of Fox News and Fox Sporting News and ESPN and Fox Sports South and all that sort of stuff. There's plenty of that. We wanted something that was from the fan perspective. And because really, when you think about it, without the fans, football is just a kid's game.
Yeah.
And that's where we wanted to put our emphasis was the fan and their perspective and how they feel and what they think. So we pride ourselves on being the voice of Panther Nation and getting the word out there that this is what the fans feel. We get that to the organization, to other fans, just trying to allow people, we try to be a forum for people to express their opinions as well.
Yeah. So just kind of detailing for everybody what this show will entail. Of course, we're going to talk about the 2014 Panthers, because it's now 2015, but we're going to talk about this year's Carolina Panthers and just kind of how this season has gone. And then at 4:15, Washington State wide receiver Vince Maley will be coming on. And he was, he was my first or second piece at Carolina Cat Chronicles. And if I can find it over here, I'm going to read that scouting report and just skim through it and hit the important points before he comes on, so you guys can kind of know what we're dealing with, but I'm not going to do that until about 4:10, 4:12. So what was your big takeaway from this season? I mean, it's been pretty ridiculous to watch just kind of how they went from being pretty good in the first few games to horrible. And then now they've looked like one of the better teams in the league just watching them play. So how have you taken this season, and is your blood pressure all right?
No, it's not. I was at the Lions game. I went to the home opener, and I was just like, oh, man, this team is going to be good. Just the way we played, we handled their potent offense very well with our defense. We moved the ball pretty effectively. That's what I saw. And then the injury bug started biting us, and people went down, and the people who came in just, you know, they weren't what we had hoped. And we went on that 5 or 6 game losing streak. And I was really disappointed. And, you know, after the way we played last year, you came into this season with a certain degree of expectations. I think we did expect there to be some fall off, but not as dramatic as what we were experiencing. And, you know, there were a lot of question marks with play calling and personnel, and it just got to be frustrating. So at one point, I was calling for Ron Rivera's head. I was calling for Shula to be fired. Just, you know, all sorts of angry things that an angry, passionate fan would say or want. But then our offensive line started to come together, and that made all the difference in the world. We got healthy on defense, and when I say healthy, it was a combination of people coming back and us being able to put some people into positions where we were really struggling, in the defensive backfield in particular. Kayson was just, he was such a tremendous liability. Day 2 was a liability as well. And we were just really struggling on the back end. So we bring in Sticky Wicky, or Ben Wickery. We call him Sticky Wicky over at C3. And Norman finally shows up. Josh Norman, we've known, has talent, because he has been a preseason All-Pro forever since he's been on the team. We've seen him really show what he can do in the preseason. It just never translated into the regular season, or he would be in the doghouse with the coaches. It was always one thing or another. But something clicked, and he has really been one of the top defensive backs in the NFC South and in the league. Really, he's played well against Julio Jones twice. He's played well against Mike Evans. He's played some formidable competition and really done well against them. So that's been exciting. That's probably been the biggest takeaway from me, is I was clamoring for these young guys. At one point, I was like, look, what do we have to lose? If they're healthy, let's play them. And then we put them in, and it turned the season around.
Yeah. That's what's been crazy is, like, I was listening through some of my older podcasts just to kind of see what, really how far it's come, because it's kind of interesting. At the end of the year, I've been doing this since, I think, June, and it's interesting to come to the end of the year and listen to the things and read the things you've done and see how they've evolved over the year. And we talked, I think it was the second or third week in the season, and either Aaron or myself said that the Panthers would be top 15 in the league in pass defense, and it would be because of Antoine Kayson and Thomas Dekou. So I was about ready to delete that one in case somebody came across it, because I may have ruined all of my credibility on that one day in 5 minutes.
Oh, well, I don't think so. I mean, you know, you as many other people, were hoping for the best. Dekou had a Pro Bowl year with the Falcons, and Kayson was a first-round draft pick. So, you know, being fans like we are, we all wanted to hope for the best and think that the guys are going to pan out the way we hope they would. But, you know, it just wasn't in the cards. These guys were exactly what they were, free agents that teams didn't want. And we got them at the bargain. And sometimes, you know, sometimes cheap isn't necessarily good.
Yeah. what was funny was before the season, pretty far before the season, I was a pretty big pessimist of the Panthers, and it was because of their offensive line and their secondary. And then as training camp went on and I saw them, I finally convinced myself to buy in to those two units, and then they stunk. So I should have kept in my position throughout the whole time, and then maybe I wouldn't have made such a dumb comment. Now, I did preface that with a lot of times I will come on the air and say thanks before I think about it. And so that may have kind of prepared people for something dumb to be said, but still said it.
I was at training camp. My partner and my business partner and fellow co-founder of Carolina Cat Chronicles, the professor, Tony Dunn, we went to training camp and spent a couple days there. Actually, we took our families, too. And we got a good feel. We thought Sticky Wicky looks good, Kaysom looks good, the offensive line looks good, albeit it is training camp. But we felt positive about what we were seeing, and we thought it could work. So you weren't the only one, you know, that bought in, that drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Yeah. If Ron Rivera didn't do such a good job explaining that the guys that are on the roster are going to do well for you, I wouldn't have bought in, but he explained it well, and now I can't believe him ever again. So that's kind of a segue for the last 5 minutes or so before we get into talking with Vince Maley. But what do you think needs to be done this offseason? I think obviously they need to add a left tackle. I'm still not sure if Kelvin Benjamin's a number one wide receiver. That is one thing I stay skeptical about, even though he had 1,000 yards. This is not reliable, I don't think. And he will be a very good number two, but I just don't see him as number one. So in my opinion, they need to add a number one wide receiver with speed. And probably an established number two cornerback and a strong safety. What else do you have that they should do?
Well, I think they need to bring in someone that can be effective as a returner. I like Burson in regards that he'll catch the ball every time when it comes to punt returns. What he'll give you after that is not much.
Yeah.
But for right now, just catching the ball and not fumbling it, I'm happy with. If he fair catches it most of the time, I'm okay with that. But I would like to see them bring in someone that could be a real threat to take one back, whether that be through the draft or through free agency. That's something I think we need, because that's an area of concern on this team. I guess, you know, you said another corner. I guess a safety would also be a position of need. Harper had the game of his life, I think, last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he can't do – I think this is it for him. You know, maybe next year if he's on the roster, it's going to be more as a mentor-type role.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are the two biggest things I would say, in addition to what you've already mentioned.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of names for the wide receiver returner position. It looks like – I was trying to find the report, but it looks like Mike Wallace is going to be released, and he would be an option. He was an option a few years ago, and it feels like his price would come down a little bit. And Torrey Smith of the Baltimore Ravens is a free agent. So those are two guys who could fit into that role. You got some speed, pretty good route runners, veterans.
Between the two, I liked Torrey Smith.
Yeah.
Between the two, just because I don't know that Mike Wallace he definitely brings speed. He brings pretty decent hands. I'm not sure of his locker room presence, though. Didn't end well there in Pittsburgh, and it seems like things aren't ending well in Miami. So I would rather have someone who's going to fit into the locker room, all things being equal. You want someone who's going to fit in the locker room versus not.
Yeah. I feel like with this team that they maybe can handle a bad locker room presence, because there have been guys who have been rumored to be bad locker room presences that just haven't really hurt the team. You know, it was Greg Hardy, I think some people were saying, would have been a bad presence. And not only did he perform, but I just feel like the Panthers have the type of roster and the group of veterans who can handle maybe a bad personality and deal with it. So I don't know. I mean, I would probably agree with you about Torrey Smith, and you know, I think he'd be a great fit. But I was reading one thing, and it was an article for Torrey Smith of Carolina, and I couldn't find it again. There was one written on C3, but there's another one that I read, and one punchline that it had in the comment section was, he needs to wear number 89, so thousands of fans can get something out of their 89 Smith jersey.
What a great idea. I have an 89 Smith jersey. I could wear it again.
Yeah, mine is the, I've got a tree in my bedroom. My Steve Smith jersey is the tree skirt for my Christmas tree, so that would be useful again.
Yes, it would. You're absolutely right.
So while we're kind of waiting on him to come on, we talked about the draft a little bit last season. And the theme of this is Diamonds in the Rough, and that's kind of what this podcast is. It's what the series is about. So who were some guys that panned out that you really didn't think would pan out this season, last season, just whatever?
In regards to the Panthers?
Yes, sir.
I guess I'd start with this season. I was surprised at how well Ben Wickery has done, especially after coming back from an injury. You know, I saw him in training camp, and he looked comfortable. But then to miss, you know, have an injury and miss practice and not be able to be on the field, for him to come back and perform the way he has, I've been really impressed with. Trey Turner, I think he started off the year kind of rough. But now he's come on very strong, and he's really him, Norwell, and Khalil. That's really three good interior defensive linemen. And, you know, Trey Turner only played 20 games in college as a college player at guard.
Yeah.
So he had a big learning curve. But it took him a little while, but it seems he's come around. And I think we're going to be solid up the middle on that offensive line for years to come.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so
I was going to say, and then of course from last season, Starr and Timon Short.
Yeah,
those two guys making a huge impact as rookies. You know, we were fortunate for Starr to fall to us, and then Short in the second round was a real steal.
Yeah. So Vince is about to come on. He hasn't called in yet, but I just got a text he's about to. So I'm just going to read a couple of things about him. He's a big wide receiver at, if I'm reading this right, 6'3", and he played really well last year at Washington State. He played the last 2 years at Washington State. He's a former community college basketball player. He's a forward off the bench, and so just reading some of his stats here, last season at Washington State, he had 106 receptions for 1,483 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's pretty doggone good production in the Pac-12. Played a couple of bigger schools, and so I really think that he's about to come on within draft circles because he's already been invited to the Senior Bowl and the Combine. So just with those numbers and his size, what is your initial reaction of him? I know you read the article because you tweeted me about it, but what are your thoughts about him so far and what you've read and seen? And maybe you'll come on before you're done.
You gotta love his size first and foremost. You saying that he was a basketball player, at that size, that's great for the NFL because he's able to use his body to shield off the defender when it comes to getting the ball. He's probably got a pretty good vertical leap as a basketball player. I know we had two games, one against Cal, and I think the other one was against Arizona State, where he had over 10 receptions for 250 yards or more. Just big, and he seems to have pretty good speed for his size.
Yeah.
And I just am watching some of the highlights. He seems pretty formidable. And surprisingly, not that many people are really aware of who he is.
Yeah.
But like you said, I expect him to make some noise in the Combine and at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. He's got very good size. Like you said, his speed is impressive. He's just an impressive athlete, and I think that's what will get you to rise on draft boards and especially throughout the week. So we are having a little bit of technical difficulties with this, but he's got very good measurables, athleticism. Seems like he can work on his hands a little bit, but other than that, you know, he's impressed me a lot.
Yeah, that's one area. I think if we, because of who we have as the position coach, we can take a lot of raw talent and allow Ricky Kroll to sort of mold them into an NFL wide receiver. He was such an excellent technician, Ricky Kroll was. He wasn't the greatest, the most athletically gifted wide receiver, but he was very good in the subtle things and the nuances of the receiver position. And that's what he's able to impress upon a young, athletic, raw receiver.
Yeah. I think that if he – I don't think the Panthers will address the wide receiver position in the early rounds because it's not the way that they operate, I don't think. They're very extremely loyal, so I think they'll give Kelvin another year before they pass on it. But he would be phenomenal in the late rounds just to bring in and let Pro coach him because, like I said in the article, Kelvin's been playing football for a long time. And for Vince to have just picked it up a few years ago, that's pretty phenomenal to do that after playing basketball and not football. 1,000 yards, over 1,000 yards, almost 1,500, that's nothing to look over, especially in the Pac-12, which is, you know, as we saw last night, it's not the joke of college football anymore.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got some real talent out there.
Yeah. And a lot of Pac-12 offenses are pretty high octane. I think every Pac-12 team I've seen as of late, they've looked pretty fast, you know. I think that Oregon just scored again on Alabama, so.
Yeah, that was a pretty impressive display. And they are fast. They're very up-tempo. They bombard you with plays, and your head is just spinning because they're changing formations, they're bringing in different personnel groupings, and they're doing it so fast. You don't have time to adjust. You don't have time to make your reads, let alone catch your breath and get some Gatorade or some water in you. So they just really, it's like shock and awe offense. is what it is. And it's kind of catching on out there on, in the West Coast.
Yeah. If you see, talking about Oregon a little bit, I'm just trying to take some time to fix this. I think we're going to have to go a little bit over our 4:30 time. Just going to talk to him at least a little bit. But did you see that Kelvin Benjamin lost a bet with Jonathan Stewart? He had to wear the Oregon jersey.
No, I didn't, but that's funny.
I think it was Brandon Williams' jersey, because it was number 87. I think Stewart wore 28 out there. I don't know what jersey he was wearing, but he had to wear an Oregon jersey.
That's funny. Yeah, they really, manhandled Florida State. I thought they would win, but I thought it would be more competitive. And, you know, Florida State didn't do themselves any favors with, like, 6 turnovers. You're not going to win a game where you have that many turnovers. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah. And Rashad Green, Benjamin, a few times, had a few bad drops. That's one thing that concerned me about Kelvin is, it's not the drops, because drops are going to happen, but it's the bad drops. Whenever you've got a few yards of separation and the quarterback puts it in there perfectly and you can't reel it in, because that's not good for the quarterback either, because you get him to feel like, if I throw it to you, you can actually catch it, and then get him thinking too much and stand back, and then he gets hit because he doesn't work or think too much, and it's just not a good situation for anybody if you can't catch the ball.
No, and you know, we saw a perfect example of that last week when he got behind Trufant and the Atlanta corners, and Cam put the ball right in his pocket, and he didn't come up with it. That might have been good for a score, you know. So you look at that and you're just like, you are worried. But I think, I don't know if you saw the post that I put up on the site about it. I really think it's just a matter of him getting comfortable in the offense. He gets, you know, you're out of the huddle. As you're walking up to the line, you're looking at the defense, trying to figure out what defense it's in, and then as the snap count's being called out, you see the defense shift, you're looking for blitzes, you're looking for where you got to go if such and so, if this guy blitzes or this guy blitzes, where are you going to cut off your route to? There's a lot of thinking going on. And, you know, as a rookie, I'm sure he's trying to get it right, so he's going over and over and over in his head, and then he runs his route, and when the ball gets there, it's not the first thing he's thinking about. So that could be an explanation for some of the drops. We knew he had a drop problem because we heard about it with him coming out of college. So we shouldn't be surprised that this is going on. But I do believe it's something that can be fixed.
Yeah. We're going to have to go about 5 to 7 minutes overtime on this thing. So I'm not sure if you're going to hear it on your end, but there's going to be a countdown. Just ignore it as best as you can. It's kind of tough because it's a really loud countdown in your ears, but we're going to go past this if it'll let us. I think it will. If you're not able to hear us past this point, Happy New Year, and hope you enjoyed it. But if it doesn't kick us off and stop us from recording, we're going to keep going on with this. But it's pretty rough to watch things like that because, like you said, I mean, that play alone, it probably would have been a score. And there have been several other plays like that. And you know, I don't think he's the reason that they've lost games. And, you know, that would be foolish to put it all on him. And, you know, but it still just needs to watch.
Yes.
Sorry?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It looks like he's on. So we're going to go ahead and talk. We're going to talk to him for about 5-7 minutes. So How are you, Vince?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We were talking to you, and your agent said that you guys are in Florida, and up here in North Carolina, it's pretty cold today. So what's the weather like down there in Florida while you're training?
I would say it's not cold, but it's not hot.
Yeah. I think the other day up here, it was 42, so I'm ready to be down in Florida now. So I think you've got it figured out because you went to school in Washington State. So I don't think it was all that hot down there compared to Florida. And then it gets to the winter months, and then you go to Florida to escape the cold. So you've got it figured out if you could do that during the season every year.
Yeah, that was.
We're going to talk a little bit with you about Washington State and the draft process. But before we do that, I was just curious. You're not allowed to talk to teams now because I don't think that started yet. I may be wrong, but what does a regular day of training look like for you? I mean, is it all cardio? Do you work on the field with coaches, or what's that look like right now?
I wake up about 7. I head to the training facility about 9. I do weight workouts, and then after the weight workouts, I go on the field and do a position workout, and I got a break for about an hour. Then I go back out there and I do my combine workouts, and I'm out there with Tom Shaw, and NFL player stopped by that worked out with him previously.
Yeah. So I saw that you're going to be in the Senior Bowl. Have they told you which coaching staff you're going to work with yet?
No, they have not told us yet.
Okay. Because I think I saw it, but I don't think they've officially announced what coaching staff are going to be out there. I think it's the Titans and the Jaguars, but I think that's just a rumor at this point. But, you know, either way, it's neat what they have going on at the Senior Bowl because you take these seniors who most of them aren't the super notable prospects, but it's cool how they bring them out there and work them with a NFL coaching staff. And you looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it a lot. You know, getting to play against guys from the SEC and other conferences that, you know, supposedly the top talent in the country. I'm excited to be that.
We were just talking about you as a prospect and watching your tape a little bit. It's really surprising that we're not seeing you a lot in the reports because you've got the speed, I think. Speed is probably, it's good for your size, but you've got athleticism, and you're a big guy. So what would you say that you're going to do best at the combine? Because I think where you're going to light it up is the combine because of your athleticism, from your basketball background. So what would you say is your best trait that will come out of the combine?
I think my 40 time will surprise a lot of people at the combine.
Wow. You know, something that's kind of funny was Kelvin Benjamin's got really good size, but his 40 time stuck. So with somebody like yourself, 6'3", you know, running a good 40 time, that'll shoot guys up the combine because people will watch, and a lot of the casual fans will watch the combine or listen to the combine stuff and think, just look at the 40-yard dash or look at the vertical jump and they'll look at highlights. But really excited about you because you're a really good player, and from what I've read, it seems like you're relatively new to the game, right?
Yeah, I played wide receiver for 3 years.
And you played basketball. What position did you play?
Guard.
This really doesn't have anything to do with the NFL draft or anything, but who did you want to be like playing basketball? Is there a specific player who you watched and you wanted to fashion your game out of? And did you think that basketball was going to be what took you to the top and not football?
When I was playing basketball, I didn't really I picked up a lot of things from a lot of different people because I was able to shoot like a guard and also get to the basket like a small forward. So I really just picking up a lot of things as I go along. But the 6'3 height wasn't really helping me.
Yeah. It's funny how you go to basketball in 6'3 height. It doesn't help you a ton as a basketball player, and then you get to football, and scouts are drooling over 6'3 height.
Yeah, that was what my high school coach was telling me. He was like, you're short in the basketball world. Football world, you're a giant.
Exactly. Yeah.
A couple more questions for you, but what was life like at Washington State? I mean, we're on the East Coast, so, and now you're on the East Coast. How is life different from West Coast to East Coast?
The East Coast time seems to go by a lot faster. Games start. A lot of the games I played were at night. And, you know, a lot of the times that we're about to start playing, the people on the East Coast are going to sleep. So that was a little, the West Coast just seems like it's a little bit slower paced than the East Coast.
Yeah. How do you think your basketball background will help you go into the NFL?
It helped me out a lot with timing and spacing. I took a lot of the stuff I learned from basketball and into football and playing wide receiver, getting jump balls and body position. You know, that's just a lot of stuff that I figured out would work.
Yeah. So this is a Panthers podcast, but we're kind of just covering all of the draft, pretty much unrelated to the Panthers as far as the Dynasty and Rough deal and all of that. So we're going to let you go, not take too much more of your time, but just going to let you close it out with whatever you want to say, and if you'll just end it with keep pounding.
Can you say that one more time?
We're going to close it out, but we're going to let you close it out with whatever message you want to put out there and just end it with keep pounding and be done.
Oh, well, I don't really got too much to say. I'm really about just showing my work and letting my actions speak for myself. So, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. And you have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon as we get closer to the draft.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye. All right. That's it for today's Beyond the Stats podcast. This is the 2020 podcast. Already getting mixed up. But I'm going to play that soundbite again. I don't think I really got my point across with that last bit, but I'm going to let that go. Joey, thanks for coming on, and talk to you soon as well.
All right. Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend, okay? Happy New Year.
Do we ever start out there? Do we ever throw it in? You know, giving the power, like, no.